enterprising in my surroundings. I'm finding the quietest estates these days. Just representation of storm brewing. Amazed that the focus remains the focal point of my change.
All right, we are back for our monthly edition of My Body and Soul with Tommy Runs. And today, I'm so excited for this little shoe talk, then a little yoga talk. That's right, we got Tommy Runs is going to turn into Tommy Yoga for the second half of this episode.
Oh, namaste.
Namaste, yeah. My son. Yeah. I'm really excited for that. But before that, we're going to do a little shoe talk. Specifically, talk about some shoes that are new to us. So we're going to do, talk about two new pairs of shoes that we have. Haven't gotten to full review status yet, but things that we're trying out and that we're liking and that we are excited to talk about, even though we don't might not have fully formed opinions yet, but we're rounding the corner on some new, on some fully formed opinions, enough to talk about them and maybe sway you positive or negative on some of these shoes that you may have in your cart. So, Tommy, I started first last time in the Underrated Overrated episode, which was a lot of fun. So I think you, my friend, are going to have to kick us off.
I got a question. I got a question though. So you said it like in your cart. I've heard people do this before. Do you have like multiple websites where you have like things in the cart already just in case like you're ready to keep your eyes on it, or do you just favorite your things on your websites?
Yeah, sorry. So Runner's Warehouse. So Running Warehouse. Is it Runner's Warehouse? Running Warehouse. Running Warehouse.
Something like that.
Yeah. I do utilize the wish list.
Okay. Do you share that? Do you share the wish list with other people?
I have not. No. The last thing I will need is people being, well, no, here's the thing is I don't want people, I'm afraid of getting shoe shamed for my overabundance of shoes. So I'm keeping the amount of shoes to myself.
Don't talk about me because I got, don't
well, shoe
shame.
They're all behind you. There is no shoe shame, okay?
Sorry, guys. All right. Change the subject because I don't want to get shamed on the show. So I'll go first this time because, yeah, you came out the gate last week on fire, last episode on fire. So I'm just going to jump into it. So I kind of have more partially close to fully formed opinions about the shoes that I'm going to share.
All right. Let's do it.
So this shoe that I ran a little over 50 miles in so far, it is the New Balance Fresh Foam 1080 V12. And I like the shoe a ton right now. I'm really rocking with it, really vibing with it. So I'm just going to go through and talk about some of the things that are important to me on a rating from 1 to 5, right? So we're going to start with the obvious. What I see first when I saw this shoe is cushion, right? So I'll start with that because the cushion is important, especially on a daily trainer or just a training shoe that you're going to do a lot of miles in. You want to feel comfortable after those workouts. You want to be able to do a long run in it if that's your vibe and you feel like you just want to go out there easy. You want the cushion to be up to par. And I do believe that the fresh foam and the amount of it in this shoe, to me, for a training shoe, is a 5.
Oh,
that's as good as it gets for a training shoe, because training shoes, you really need to make sure that they vibe with you. And some people may not like the high stack and whatever, but for me, it's a 5, right? Fit. We're going to talk about how the shoe fits on the foot, the lockdown, whatever you want to call it. This shoe, I would give a 4.5. So not a full 5, just because it's a, we'll get to that part a little bit later, but it's a kind of a bigger feeling shoe. So the fit is just a little different. 4.5 is not too shabby at all for the fit of a shoe. Then we'll move on to the weight. So I'm not going to complain because, people go like, oh, this training shoe is too heavy. But most trainers are a little heavy on the heavier side because they have more padding, more, the upper's a little more firm. I mean, not firm, but a little more supported. And then you got all this foam on the bottom and you got the rubber for the traction on the outsole. So you can't complain too much on it, but it is an 11.1 ounce shoe for my size 11, so that's not too bad.
Whew.
It's not too bad. I mean, we're not, like, if it was like an 11 ounce for like a 9.5 shoe, then you're talking about,
true,
you're getting a little crazy. So it's not too bad, but I'd give it a 3.5 on that scale because I do have some trainers that feel about the same, but they're just a little lighter. Light shoes don't really mean anything unless that's your preference, So like if you don't mind it, go ahead and grab one of these. Then I'm going to talk about bounce and pop. I'm talking about the balance of those things, because to me, bounce is one thing and like a poppy shoe is a little different. So the shoes that I feel like are really good at balancing the both of those are going to be my favorite type of shoe. So I'm going to give this a 4 because it is nice and soft. It does absorb a lot of the beating of like a long run or whatever, an easy run sometimes. But you can turn these things over pretty quickly, and you and they do kind of propel you forward. They do have some pop to it. For a shoe that has so much foam, they do a really good job at balancing the two. The look of them, what do you think? I'll let you go. Between 1 and 5, what do you think the look of these 1080s?
All right, so I would say the 1080, the versions prior to that, so the 10 and the 11, I thought they were a little bit more edgy in terms of their look.
Okay.
Where now you can tell they went a little bit more conservative.
Yep.
On the look, I think. So you're holding up the black and white version of it with some gray in there as well.
Come on.
Slightly below average.
So you're giving it like a 3 for the look?
I would give it a 2.3.
2.3. Okay. Well, so
slightly below average. And I would say I'd say the green, the new spring green color, I thought maybe that would kick up to a 3. But the colors that I've seen, I thought was slightly below average.
Yep. So I'm going to give it, given that it's a trainer, I gave it a 4 because a lot of trainers out there are pretty ugly.
No, you're paid by New Balance. This is now, we're going to put a sponsorship on this thing now.
I like this one. So maybe, yeah, I think if I got the wrong color, this could be. They have some other colors that are a little iffy out there, but I'm gonna give it a 4 because I have a lot of trainers that I just don't want to put on, but they feel good, so I keep moving. So I don't mind throwing these on, and I think they look decent on me. Maybe it's I'm just biased because I'm having them on.
Okay, you and Kafuzi can revel in the black and white. I know big fan of the dark shoes. I think of basketball referees whenever I see the black running shoes.
If you go black bottom, if you go full, if you got an all black running shoe out there. I was going to say no shade to you, but shade to you. Get rid of the all black shoes. You look like a referee. You look, especially we saw somebody the other day wearing all black Hokas. And those are like the all black Hokas are what the referees wear in the NBA.
For sure.
And
if you have a black, all black on black,
all black.
Bondi 7,
unless you're going up and down the court, back and forth, not dribbling a ball, but just holding a whistle, stop. Okay. Maybe even get some paint. Paint the bottom of them yourself. Whatever you got to do. Just saying. Because it's not because I care. It's because I want you to be okay out there in the world.
This is just a disclaimer for your benefit.
Yeah, I'm here for you. the run feel, because that's super important. That's kind of everything we talked about together, except for like the look of it. The run feel. I'm going to give these a 4 out of 5 for the feel on a run. Being able to turn them over. They're not, even though they weigh 11.1 ounces, they still turn over. You still feel good. You can slow down and they don't feel like awkward. The fit's good, all that stuff. So run feel, I'm going to give it a 4. So all in all, this shoe gets a 4.2 out of me out of 5 for a trainer.
I like it. All right, let me ask you this question. Because I am big on the how heavy does a shoe feel, mm-hmm. right? Because there are certain shoes that obviously most of the shoe is always going to be in the midsole, outsole. That's where most of the weight is on every shoe. But there are some shoes, and I'm going to bring up my next shoe I'm going to talk about is the Hoka Mach 5. So here we go. Hoka Mach 5 right here. I have the Hoka Mach 4 upstairs. Hoka Mach 4 has the upper is more substantial. It's just it's a thicker fabric. I think it's a dual layer. And so the Hoka Mach 5, Hoka Mach 4 have basically the same weight, but the Hoka Mach 5 feels heavier than the 4. And I think it's because it's bottom weighted.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
that makes sense.
A more substantial upper, you know, it's just like if you put like weight on a lever, the farther down the lever you put the weight, the more impact that weight has on the overall swinging of the lever. So I think it's the same sort of feel where if you have a certain weighted shoe, say it's 9 ounces, two 9 ounce shoes, and in one of the shoes, the upper is thicker, that shoe will feel lighter on foot than the other shoe that is bottom heavy.
Yes.
Slightly. So again, it's not a huge difference, but like I noticed it in this shoe, I've noticed in other shoes that you have that element of some shoes just feel lighter on foot than their description. And that's my hypothesis, that it's the bottom weighting of a shoe can impact it. How heavy does the shoe feel on foot for you? And I think a corollary to that is like, some shoes just have a lot of bounce to them. So even if they are heavy, the heaviness can be a positive because you're getting that bounce out of the weight so that it kind of eliminates that as an issue.
Yeah, I feel like it may be a little, I mean, I definitely understand what you're saying too. I mean, I feel like the distribution of where the weight is in the shoe, front, back, whatever, it really depends on your stride as well. So, you know, if I'm a different type of foot striker than you, and the weight is in an odd spot for me, I'll feel it more than say you would. So I just think that where the distribution of the weight is, these do a fairly good job for me. I guess if you had to, you can obviously the weight in this shoe is more towards the bottom because of that foam, but it's kind of meant for that as well. Like, so they kind of structured it so you're able to take the benefit and reap the benefit of that fresh foam. Because I think if this shoe was maybe just weighted a little differently and the foam was like an afterthought in like the weight distribution, it would feel, you'd feel the foam more than you should. Like, you would feel that, like, as in it's hitting the ground before you. This one seems like it's all kind of part of the foot strike. It feels like it flows well, rolls well. So I think that they just did a good job at nailing that balance. And, you know, that's why I gave like a good run feel, because it's important. Like, you can have all these other things, but if the run feels odd and it's a 3 or 2 out of 5, then you're talking about a great shoe, Nike Invincible. But it just doesn't feel good on the run. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go back to our last episode. If you want some Nike Invincible talk, or if you like the shoe.
I got messages about
this. If you don't like the shoe, then don't listen to that episode.
I got flack about my comments about the Nike Invincible in my DMs.
I guess people are going to you with the negativity. They're coming to me for the positivity, because the only responses I got on it were like, I agree.
Man, I got zero I agrees. Zero I agrees.
Well, those people who wanted to contact me with the agreement, thank you. Thank you for going to me with the agreement. No. Hoka Mach 5. Here we go. I love the Mach 4. For me, the Mach 4 was a classic definition of a performance trainer that you could also take on some faster days. Wasn't overly cushioned, but had just the right amount. Not a great long run shoe, because it was just missing a little bit in the forefoot as a forefoot striker.
Agreed.
But for an easy run, even medium long run, I was gonna say on the shorter long run. So for me, it kind of like maxed out at like a 10-mile run for me, in terms of where I would want to take it. Once I went over 10, it didn't quite vibe with me, but most of my runs are under 10 anyway. So that was totally fine. It was a great daily trainer, and I had no problem doing some faster stuff in it. So Grid, really good shoe for like fartlek workouts, right? So you just one shoe for the whole thing, the warm-up, the fartlek, the cool-down, money. This is great, right? So this shoe, on the heels of that, they altered a variety of things. First of all, the upper is thinner than before, still very comfortable. The Hoka Mach 4 is one of the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn. I still wear it around today, like going to the grocery store or whatever. I pop that shoe on. It's incredibly comfortable. And I feel the same way
about
it.
It's a cool dad shoe.
It's a black and white. It's black and white, just like the one you had. So I got it.
Oh, man.
It's not. The color was not great.
Do you wear black slacks with it? That's all the question.
Slacks. I work from home.
I'm just making sure. If you went to the store with those black slacks, then we have an issue, Matt.
Okay. So I'm a big fan of this color. This is like sunrise color here. And so this shoe, the main differences are the upper is thinner. Okay. So you lose weight in the upper. It's still incredibly comfortable. The tongue is much thinner. It's very similar to the Hoka Speed Goat 5 tongue with a couple little padded sections. So like the laces don't rub up against the top of your foot. So that's nice, but it's a very thin tongue. Overall, some substantial weight lost in the upper, which is good because they definitely added it in the midsole. So you can see here the dual density thing they got going on, the ProFly system underneath. You got the rubberized EVA into the outsole, exactly the same as the Hoka Mach 4 and exactly the same as the Hoka Supersonic. The top layer of foam here, the Mach 4, it was just soft. This one is soft, but a little cushiony, a little bit more responsive, which is exactly what people wanted. So this shoe definitely has some more softness, definitely has bounce, okay? Mach 4 did not bounce. It was a fun shoe, but it did not bounce. This shoe definitely bounces, and it's a little squishy, which I think for a lot of people is going to be a good thing. For me, because it's a little bit thicker, because there's a little bit more squish to it, and just the weight differential in the shoe, and they extended this little heel,
yeah,
goat hoof thing in the back. It's pretty long in the back. And it's like, it really sets you off. Like, in terms of like looking down at your feet, it looks like you're wearing a shoe that's 3 sizes too big. Like, I look down, I'm like, what is this? It's like an optical illusion. Not because it's like, it looks like I'm wearing a size 12 instead of my 10 and a half. And it feels weird. Same with the Hoka Bandai X. I put that on. I'm like, I can't wear this shoe. It looks like I'm wearing a 14. So overall, the big thing for me in this shoe is that it has proven to be a different kind of tweener. Hoka Mach 4 was a tweener between daily runs and some speed day stuff, which was a really good spot. This shoe, I don't feel as good about for speed day stuff. I don't feel as good about it for the fartlek workouts. However, I do like it more for long runs because of the added cushion, the added bounce. So I think this shoe is a really good daily trainer, just like the other one was. And if I have to push it in a certain direction, it's more daily trainer long run than daily trainer speed day. If you have to make it that tweener pick. Overall, I'm a big fan of the shoe. It fits me really well. There's a lot to like, but ultimately it's a slightly different use case than the Hoka Mach 4.
It looks like the rocker is a bit more aggressive on that. Is that the case or am I?
Does it a little bit, but it's not.
It looks like a more shallow shoe than the other one.
I wouldn't say it's not. So like this is like the Hoka. This is the Ride 15. So you can see a much more pronounced rocker.
Yeah, true.
This one. This one lays more flat. It's not like the Puma Velocity 2.
Maybe the toe off.
Yeah, it's a little bit on the toe, but it's not. You won't really notice it. Like I think the flattest shoe I own, and one that I really like the Puma Velocity Nitro 2. Mm-hmm. That one, no rocker. If you like rockers, don't get that shoe. I don't care about rockers. I'm a midfoot, 4 foot person. The rocker is lost on me. It's not what my stride is like. So like this, I'll talk about this one after you do, but like this has a really great rocker, the Saucony Ride 15, but like I don't care about that.
Yeah.
So for some people, that's a great thing. For me, it's kind of lost on me.
Yeah. I got to check out that shoe. I got to check out that shoe you got.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, so it fell off. Sorry about that. Had to go grab it. So this shoe is a lot of people are excited about it. I was excited to see what happened with it. This is the third version of the Saucony Pro 3.
Oh, look at that beauty. Look at that thing.
It's just a nice looking shoe all around. They just stepped it up. I mean, all right, let's dive into this, okay? Because I'm excited about this one. So first thing that you see when you see this shoe, once again, is obviously the cushion. First, we'll talk about this is the Pro 3. I think it comes out in the beginning of August. And it is an 8mm drop, 39.5 in the back, 31.5 in the front. The illegal point is 40mm, if you know that, the stack. So they're getting up there. So you definitely feel a big difference. The last Pro 2 was a not much lower, but it was a lower stack, and you can definitely feel the difference once you put these on. You can see the stack is higher visible.
For sure.
All right.
Yeah, so as soon as we saw the prototypes on that, it was like, this is going to be way different.
It almost looked crazy in comparison to the old one. And so on the cushion side of this one, this is a super shoe. It does have a carbon fiber plate that runs throughout. So we'll talk about that. But for the cushion side of this, I'm going to give it a 4. And then when I'm grading this 1 through 5, I am comparing it to the super shoe, you know, competitors. So it's a really great foam. So a 4 to me is very good because there are some super shoes out there that I would wear that would probably be more like on a 3 scale or something like that. But that still doesn't mean that they don't add up to be a good shoe. So the cushion on this is nice, and it's nice. It when you're standing in it, you do feel fast. It's really comfortable underfoot. It's that, like, when you step into it, it's that good, oh, here we are type of feel. Like, you don't even have to walk very far to realize, like, there's going to be some assistance there. There's going to be some absorption of the, wear on the legs and all that stuff. So that's really what I look for in the first, like, step in of a shoe. For the fit of this one, I think that they did a better job. I wasn't a really big fan of the Pro 2 because of the fit and how it felt on my foot, just even standing still. I guess it's also because of how the midsole kind of works in and kind of feels underfoot. And then with the lockdown on this shoe, to me, is a little bit better. It's a really thin upper, but you can actually see through it there. But they've just done a really good job of the craftsmanship of it, because it doesn't feel like a flimsy upper. Because a lot of uppers that get flimsy.
The upper looks like, you know, those pennies that you would wear in gym class in fifth grade.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of looks like that on the upper.
Like they recycled old middle school pennies from. but they did a really good job, because I was kind of worried this looks kind of cool, but I figured this is going to be a problem because it's just too flimsy. But for some reason, the way that they structured it, you can actually see there's a that penny upper, that mesh upper or whatever, but then there's a layer in between it that keeps it from being you couldn't poke a hole through. I mean, you couldn't just stick a pen through it. Whatever that is really holds it together and makes it much more comfortable on the foot and around the foot. So I'm going to give the fit of this a 4.5, which is really great for a super shoe. Super shoes don't normally all just feel all that great fit wise. They just, you just kind of go with the flow. Bounce and pop balance, which is even more important to me for a super shoe, because you need to have, to me, I want a shoe that feels bouncy so I can think about the marathon, but I also want something that's snappy and poppy off the ground so I feel faster in it. Because there are some shoes that are a little more than one, one side than the other. I feel like the Pro 2s were more poppy than bouncy, much more towards the poppy, snappy side, which isn't necessarily to me a long run marathon type of experience. So
yeah, I've seen a lot of people who loved those for 5Ks.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's cool, it's fast, but it's can I run 26.2 or more or whatever in these? So I'm gonna go with a 4.5 on this one, and that's really high. So that's awesome. Because even my favorite shoe of all time right now is the Metaspeed Sky. And the balance of the bounce and pop is much lower because it's really all pop, not a ton of bounce. The look of this one, I'm going to go with a 5. I love it.
Yes.
I think it looks great. It's like you put it on the foot, and I wore this in a 10K, which I'll talk about really briefly in a second, but I got a lot of looks. Number one, because it wasn't out yet, but then also because it's just a good looking shoe. It's bright. It's kind of cool. It's not too many colors. It just stands out. And I
we should
say,
people who are not watching this on YouTube, because this is on YouTube, go check it out if you want to see it.
Yeah.
We got the pink / purple / nice looking feel. And I've seen on the Saucony website the all white with some red detailing.
There's like three colors. They all look good.
They all look good. Every single one.
Usually they
sandbag us usually at launches. They sandbag us on the colors.
This is gonna be great.
Here's some weak colors. And we'll come out with the good colors later. Maybe we'll get two pairs. That will say that about the Hoka Mach 5 too. They came out with good colors right from the jump. Thank you, Hoka, for doing that.
I feel like they think that the other colors are good too. I mean, I'm just going to say that. I think that they think that they're doing a good thing, but then maybe.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Saucony Endorphin Pro and Speed 2 launch was awful. That color,
somebody
finishing
liked
flag,
them,
little thing they were doing, or like, to me, it looked like the 1950s diner checkerboard.
I'm telling you, that one in the boardroom, they were like, this is it. I'm telling you, somebody thought that was it, man. They made a bunch of those shoes.
No, someone lost a bet. And then all of a sudden, it was like the guy in the design room was like, finally, I get to design the shoes. Like the guy who like,
checkerboard.
His 2-week notice had just come through. He didn't care. He put together this colored shoe, and he won the bet. So they had to go with it. I don't know. I think I'm weary of the that.
As time went on, though, the colors did get better, which is strange. So the look of this, I'm gonna give it a 5. Run feel, this is super important for a super shoe. I'm giving it a 5.
Whoa!
All around, I ran a 10K in this shoe, and from the beginning of the run to the end. Good. And as I kind of picked up pace towards the end of the race, it almost felt like it was turning into a slightly different shoe because of the amount of turnover. The shoe turns over very well. Like I said, it snaps off the ground. There's enough cushion there so you're not feeling like you're running barefoot with a plate under it. You don't necessarily, to me, I didn't feel the plate. I've heard another review that said they kind of felt the plate a little bit. I felt like it was enough cushion and snappiness and bounciness
to
make.
That was Megan, right? From Believe in the Run?
Yes. So, I don't know. I didn't feel it. I didn't have that experience. I actually liked it better in the last mile or so of that 10K than the rest of the race, actually. But I could actually see, so if you're looking for, this is going to be $225 bucks US. And if you're looking for a shoe that you can run a marathon in, maybe a half or a 5K, but then also you want to get them as many miles out of the shoe as you can to get your money's worth, to do some long runs in, some workouts, this is a good shoe. Because I definitely feel like I could, you know, that normally a lot of times you'll wear a super shoe and you'll do a cool down, and it's just, it's not a comfortable shoe. You want to change your foot, you want to change the shoe. I did the warm up and the cool down in this shoe, and on both ends it was like, this is good to go. I could definitely see some easy runs.
So super accommodating for a wide variety of speeds and feet.
Very versatile.
That's great. Because that's what we need. Because people listening to this, they're not pros, right? Yeah, a couple of pros. Shout out to the pros listening. But for most people, that's not the case.
Yeah.
That's why I was such a big fan of the New Balance RC Elite 2. It was like, anyone can wear this shoe. It's exactly. Super accommodating.
Exactly.
So it's nice to know that you felt the same way about this one.
Very much so.
And a lot of rubber coverage for a speed, for a carbon plated racer. So for durability, like, that looks like it's going to last a while.
Yeah, I mean, because out here normally is where people have the most wear and all that stuff, or maybe even on this other side here. But it's not a lot. It's not, it looks like it's a lot, but.
So it's not super thick. It's just kind of covers a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I know you can't see that there, but it's like nothing. I mean, it's enough traction, and they've kind of made it ribbed a little bit here. So there is, like, you're gonna get some help. And there was a couple tight turns and stuff like that that just worked out fine. I didn't feel like I was going to lose traction at all. So they did a good job with it, but it's really minimal. I'm happy it's there.
Nice. All right. So good mix. So it's not weighing it down, but some solid coverage, durability, and traction.
So total score 4.5.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's just averages. This is averages. It's just science, man. Is that math? Science?
It's just science.
Science.
It's just science. Going back to Saucony. I already said it before. I'll say it again. Got the Saucony Ride 15. So, the Ride series. Some very strong opinions from Matt Chittum about the Ride series.
In the past, were you a fan? No fan.
Well, see, I was a big fan of. See, I liked the Everrun midsole.
Okay.
Okay, so going back 5 years or so, Everrun midsoles came out. I liked them a lot. Okay, some people didn't. They were really excited when Saucony moved on from the Everrun midsole. So I had basically the predecessor to the new genre of rides, right? So the Ride 13 and 14 were basically the same shoe. I had the one that preceded that, and I was a fan of it. I liked it a lot. Okay, it was a really good daily trainer. So Ride 13 comes out. I'm like, all right, give this a try. I'm seeing some good positive things. Right, Saucony, I like the brand itself. Let's give it a shot. I hated that shoe. Freaking hated it. Right? The Power Run midsole, which is in here as well. I've gone on this rant on every single time I talk about shoes. I will go on it again. If you have a midsole with a name and it's different in every shoe, why are you naming it?
Yeah.
All right. The Power Run midsole in this is the exact opposite from the Power Run midsole in the Kinvara. And yet you use the same name. They're not the same.
Yeah.
Why, people? Why? Just name them different things or don't name them at all. I don't know. But stop calling the same thing. All right. Anyway, so the Power Run in the Ride 15, it feels, I'm not a scientist, it feels like a slightly rubberized EVA. Okay. So with that said, this one feels a little bit softer than the previous versions of the Ride series. The stack is way higher. Okay. And the upper is. Fits is a great, this is a good combination here. It fits better and there's less fabric to it. So it's a great combination there. So they nailed the upper. The Ride 13, it didn't fit me. I'm like, how do we have a daily trainer that misses the mark so much on feet? It wasn't even like I have a narrower foot. So like I understand that, like, hey, not every shoe's gonna fit me perfectly. I have a narrow foot, but it wasn't even that. It was just like the lacing system, it just left so much to be desired. I don't know how they missed so badly on it for me personally. This shoe is much less fabric in the upper, but yet fits far better, has some great support to it. The back, the tongue is a lot less padded than previous versions. The previous versions, the tongue was super plush, super duper plush, okay? This one has some nice cushion, but not overdoing it. Same thing with the heel cushioning in the back as well. Some really solid heel counter in the back, kind of reminds me of an A6 heel counter in the back. It's really strong and firm. The midsole, okay, so. This shoe has a serious rocker technology, okay? So for rocker people, the idea is once you land on your heel, it kind of rolls through to your toe and off you go. I think if you are a heel striker, this is a really, good fit for you. Okay. So they lost weight. This is now under 10 ounces, which is great. You see a little bit of flexibility even there, but not too much, but solid flexibility. All right. So you have that softer landing than before with a really nice rocker technology. And then there you go. Now, for me, what does that mean? Okay. Well, I'm not a rocker type runner. So I'm midfoot, forefoot. So this shoe is not a bouncy shoe. This is more protecting you from the ground type of cushioning, not a springy type cushioning. Okay. But it's enough. Okay. It has just enough give that it's going to work out fine. I've seen some people talk about how like this kind of midsole requires some breaking in. So in the first couple runs that I had, it was enough. So which I mean, it was, I didn't say enough. It has plenty of stack, but it had enough give, enough bounce where it wasn't a harsh ride. Okay. So if that's the case, and this is the kind of midsole that you need to break in, which for me, rubberized midsoles have been the case. I think with the Hoka Mach 4, like their outsole is a rubberized EVA. And I found that the Hoka Mach 4 outsole definitely, like, as I more I wore it, the softer it got, the more comfortable it became. If that's the case with this shoe, then I'm going to be really looking forward to that. It could end up lasting me a really long time. The outsole rubber coverage is strategic, works really well. Also decreases some of the weight, which is nice. The patches of rubber here that you see in and around the outsole are thick, but they're not everywhere. So you kind of get that nice feel. Also, you have the decoupled groove here in the heel, which creates a nice little trampoline effect for our heel strikers. I think for a heel striker, this is a really good daily trainer. Really good. And because it's under 10 ounces now, comfortably under 10 ounces, maybe even a good long run shoe for our heel strikers. I think for me, this is definitely in the normal daily trainer vibe. I have a sense that this is going to last a long time, and I may like it even more after 100 miles than I like it now, but I like it enough that I am not upset that I bought it. So I basically got it a week ago. So far, I like it just fine, and I can definitely see it working well for other people better than it works for me, but it's not such a poor fit that I'm not going to run in it. So I am excited about it, especially if it softens up after a little while. I've taken it on like two short runs. So I have 14 miles in it. So not a ton, but enough for me to still be excited to take it out and wear it around. And I love the campfire colorway. Saucony came out with these campfire colorways in all of their shoes. I absolutely love it. I want to buy all of them. Frankly, I want to buy all of them.
I've seen other colors of that shoe. And was not interested at all.
I thought the blue was decent. Is that blue or gray? A little bit of red in it was decent.
Is there a gray one? Or is that the blue one?
And it's
the
awful.
Gray one? Yeah. I was going to say awful, but.
Relatively speaking. I will say, I like this shoe. And I'll tell you what it makes me really excited for is the Saucony Tempus. Because basically the Saucony Tempus is like if the Ride 15 and the Endorphin Speed had a baby, it would be the Saucony Tempus. And the fact that I like this one just fine, and then you throw in the Endorphin Speed PB in there with a little bit more stability, ooh, that's in the cart. I'm not going to lie. The Tempus is in the cart. I'm waiting to pull the trigger.
I love any description that begins with or it starts with, if this and this had a baby, you know, like no matter what. No matter what, like I can't see it not being a great, you know, because you put some thought into it, you know?
There you go. All right, let's hold up the shoes because you know what, people? We need to have the YouTube thumbnail. So we gotta hold up the shoes so people can see them. Here we are. Look at these babies. Look at these colorways. Except for that black and white New Balance. It just
Hey man, don't pick on my black and white. It's not all black. Okay. You smiling for the thumbnail?
Yeah, we smiled. We got it in. Okay. All right, people listening on podcast, are like, what's going on now? I'm missing.
What's
this.
Happening?
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back with Tommy Yoga is in the house, and we're back from break. That's right. If you're watching on YouTube, you realize that break was less than three seconds.
Back.
But
I didn't know we're
with
back.
With our
I thought
podcast
we were
ad insertion model, that was actually felt like 4 minutes in the podcast. But it was 0 minutes. On YouTube. So
time traveling. For that.
Time traveling. We've gone back in time. If you're on YouTube, you're watching, you're going back in time right now.
This is almost like watching Umbrella Academy. Just saying.
Exactly. Without being confused of like, wait.
Yeah. What's happening? Don't say anything.
Is this bad writing or am I just not getting it?
Don't say it. I didn't finish. I got to finish this.
Oh, neither have I.
Okay, good.
I don't even have control of the remote. Whatever my wife puts on, that's what I end up watching.
No, you got to tune in, man. All right. So
we do Tommy Yoga.
Tommy Yoga.
And what? How did the yoga start? Tell me about it.
All right. So yoga started back when I was a kid. No, I'm shocked. So, I've always kind of been interested in it and kind of liked the thoughts of the thought of it and just didn't think it was cool back in the day. But so eventually, and as I got older and grew up and stuff like that, last year, you know, like good things in life happen, bad things in life happen, but sometimes just all of those things together can lead you to this point where you're just like, I need like a refresher. I need something to change. You know, I need something outside of like doing all the stuff I do daily. So last November, October to November, I did a 30-day yoga challenge or yoga reset, I called it, because a lot of stuff was going on in life and I just needed something to do every day that was a little different. I was still going to run, still going to work, still going to whatever, but I needed something else thrown in there. And that's how I started that. And I actually ended up doing it again this year after Boston. And because I just needed like just a moment to pull everything back together. And the reason why I go to yoga and the reason why I love yoga so much is because it really taps into that mindfulness part of our lives where you can slow down enough with some movement to really be aware of your body, aware of your breath, aware of, you know, kind of how you fit and where you are in this, you know, universe. And you kind of, if you really are intentional about that, it can be a really cool practice. It's not fully meditation, but if you're intentional about it, it can feel like that. You can leave a yoga mat feeling like you're really relaxed and tapped into like where your, you know, your heart and mind are really are on certain things, you know. Flexibility is a big thing when it comes to running. Mindfulness is huge for running as well, but we don't want to get too deep into that. But mindfulness is a big deal. Flexibility, obviously, because those yoga positions get you, you know, stretched out and warmed up for runs and stuff like that. But the biggest thing for me for yoga, I realize, is mobility. I mean, a lot of those positions that you have to get to are that you do have to be flexible to get to them, but there's a lot of mobility involved in joint movements and different ways that you may not normally. We sit at, you know, I sit at a desk all day, and most of us do, or most of us don't ever get to certain, you know, downward dog position ever, you know. But you know, mobility and flexibility are a really big thing when it comes to running and making sure that you are trying to stay away from, you know, the injured reserve list, you know. And if you work on your flexibility, mobility, in or outside of yoga, it can definitely lead to a better running experience. And that's really what we're all about. And then strength too. I mean, you don't think about strength when you see yoga and you see people doing it on TV. But if you get down on a yoga mat and do like a 30-minute yoga flow, you will see like your muscles will be like screaming at you, you know? So like, just definitely try it out. If you ever wanted a different way to cross train, I wouldn't say it can be as intense as like a cross training routine, but it is definitely one of those things where you afterwards or after a month, you feel stronger, you feel more flexible, you feel more agile, you know. And that's really what I want going into a training block. So a lot of times I'll do a yoga reset or more yoga towards the beginning of a training block, just to kind of set up and make sure that foundation is there. And so right at the moment now, I don't do it as much as I was before. But I've been trying to add in actual strength training, like very specific movements to make sure that because I had an issue with my knee. So I want to make sure that my balance and all everything's kind of working out and all the muscles are firing properly. So I kind of had to just decide like, hey, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to do three things, yoga, strength training, and running, and burn yourself out, or are you going to pick one? So at the moment, I had to pick strength training and running. So working on that, and as I get more comfortable with the two things, then I'll kind of add yoga back in, just because I do miss that, the mornings on the mat where you can just kind of, you know, slow down and really go into a yoga flow and kind of tap out and tap away from the world a little bit and really concentrate on your breath. We didn't really say anything about breath, really, but that's running. I mean, running, if you can conquer and control and be more attached and mindful of your breath and how you breathe and what really works, the better runner you'll be. The easier your half marathon or easier your 5K, easier your marathon for sure, if you are captain of your breath, you know. And yoga is all about breath work. I mean, the whole time, the instructors continue to say, hey, make sure you're breathing, make sure you do this, breathe like this. They have different techniques of breathing. And that can play a big role into On top of all that other stuff, that can play a really big role into your success or your enjoyment of this thing that we call running.
Wow. All right. That's a lot. So,
yeah, it was a lot. Sorry. You didn't tell me how much to go into. I love it, though.
You're on it. I can see why you came back to it after doing it in the fall.
Yeah.
So when you were doing it consistently, how would you set up your day in terms of, like, when would you do the yoga and when would you do the running? And, like, was there, like, do you want a certain amount of time between each, or how would that work?
So, like, I did. So when I was doing the challenge side of things, I would make sure I did them on the opposite sides of the day. Like, so if I ran in the morning, I'd just wait until later on in the day to do yoga. And sometimes, like, you know, you have to apply grace to yourself as well. Like, if you are going to try to do like a stretch or like a, continue to do it every day for a while or whatever, a streak or whatever, you can just make sure that, like, you don't have to do an hour yoga. I mean, sometimes it's 10, 15 minutes is better than not doing anything, you know? So some days where I was tired or it was getting a little crazy or I ran out of time in the day, I would just do a 10, 15 minute yoga and make sure I wound the day down properly. But to me, I feel like the best moments for yoga for me is in the morning. When you're fresh, get yourself some water and then head down to wherever you get, you know, wherever you go to the yoga studio, or you just go to your basement or your living room, whatever. And you can quickly and easily do some yoga right there. And I think in the morning is a really good time to touch all these things, that mindfulness, the flexibility, mobility, strength, you know, breath work. And then you really can kind of get your day going without having to have done so much, you know, like strenuous work. It's more of like that really thoughtful, mindful, slow down moment and get in there, you know?
I love it. All right, my kids, you may hear them in the background. They just came sprinting in the house from their grandma's, who's across the street, which means I'm on daddy duty now.
Your mom or your wife's mom?
My wife's mom and dad live directly across the street.
That sounds like
so fun. They have a pool. My kids pop over there. They're in the pool all the time, especially in the summer. And they're no longer in the pool. I can tell you that.
Because
I can hear them sprinting around the house. So thanks for the yoga update.
Yeah,
I love the shoes. For me, this is the contrast, because these are two daily trainers,
mm-hmm.
Ride 15 and the Mach 5, and they are so different. Mm-hmm. They are so different. So that's why sometimes one's not better than the other. I think it just depends on the things that matter to you.
Yep.
End up determining whether or not a shoe is a good fit for somebody. So for me, you know, anyone who watches probably understands that, like, I like the Hoka Mach 5 better. But I think they're both solid shoes. So I am excited about that Saucony Pro 3. I got to be honest. I'm going to be running a marathon in the fall, and hearing all the things you talk about that shoe, it's like, those are all the things that I like in shoes. It's, I feel like it's checking all the boxes for me.
I think Saucony is getting closer to, you know, the competition. You know, like, they're definitely, you'll see Saucony out there more, I believe, because of this shoe in the fall.
Yeah. For me, the Alphas, I can't wear them for 26 miles. I can barely wear them for 10 miles. They just don't fit my foot right.
Those are just two Nike shoes I just couldn't get with. The Alphas and the Invincible, you know? I just can't. I tried.
Yeah. For different reasons.
I tried.
For different reasons, right? It's like, if you have an arch, if your foot has an arch,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, there's that part. If you're not just a heel and toe, then, you know, then the Alphas might not work for you. That's what I found.
Heel,
like,
and toe.
My foot is the, I've length the whole way. I have flesh between the toes and the heel.
Mine
too. Which is why the Alpha Fly doesn't work for me.
I'm figuring Kipchoge's footprints just look like toes and heel.
That's it. There is nothing in between.
Just look at, like,
they
look
think
at
the they think he's a four-legged animal because it's a heel toe. Like, so it doesn't look like a foot. It just looks like a pad and then some fingers.
Yeah. It's like, what is this?
Right. Yeah. It's
what are we tracking here?
I don't know. I feel like I've gone completely off the rails. I will say, I wanted to like the Alpha Fly.
Can we change the name of the show to Off the Rails?
Off the Rails?
Yeah.
We should.
Sounds like fun.
I think I'll probably remember it more. The other one, I always forget the name.
Let's just do it right now.
I always
now.
Want to say Fuel for the Soul.
Guys, next time
you... Like, no, it's next not time the
you,
name of the show.
Next time you want to Google this, just Google Off the Rails. Here we are.
Off the Rails with Tommy Yoga. All right.
All right.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. Have a great day and happy running. This has been a production of Rambling Runner Podcast. This podcast is produced by David Margetti of In Post Media. Thank you to Meta P for the music. His song, Righteous Path, featuring Rex Mayhem and Chip Fu, is produced by Symphonic Bang.
Yeah.
enterprising in my surroundings. I'm finding the quietest estates these days. Just representation of storm brewing. Amazed that the focus remains the vocal focal point of my change. I'm trying to show this industry I got range.